Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, Noob of All Trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series, I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Fate, the latest Dragonlance book from Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. I took last week off, as I've explained in the YouTube series, and I think I might have mentioned it on the webpage as well, because I thought I was going to be too busy with the end of summer to actually record and dedicate my time to it. I'm back in school now, and I have students finally this week. Thursday and Friday, I did not have students, but I do have students, and I'm trying to figure out how to work my recording schedule with my teaching schedule, and also we have to, again, go back and forth for Aiden's soccer. So I will try to continue to update on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we'll see how things go over the next couple of weeks. I might end up adjusting the schedule. I will let you know accordingly. In this episode, I am reading chapters 7 and 8, and I will explain why I stopped there and I'm only reading two chapters this time instead of three. Or maybe I'll explain it in the next episode. Guess you'll have to wait and see. Chapter 7. Raistlin again chastises Taz about talking about the song, though he realizes it may do little to keep the Kender quiet. As a precaution, he asks Sturm to look after Taz while he tries to get information on Maul and Tully. He finds Distina talking to the villagers about the man. He asks them about Tully's story. They confirm that if he came to warn them about the dragon, he's a bit late. They also can't remember seeing him at the battle, but they might have missed him with all of the chaos. They thank Magius for his help. He accepts the thanks and apologizes for not being able to help more. They shrug and assure him that not all is lost, and they can rebuild. The worst news is that Palanthas has fallen. The Minotaurs attacked by sea. With no defenses, the city fell without a fight. Several leaders fled to the tower for safety. That leaves the tower as the lone defense point against the enemy. Those left plan to go home. They offer to bring Tully and Destina. She prefers to stay with the party. Huma asks them to take their horses and any additional equipment. Magius is surprised by this development. He asks why. Huma explains that they won't need them if they use Magius' method of travel. Magius, surprised, nevertheless takes the win. Raistlin notices the sun setting, and it makes him consider that they are running out of time, being in the past, and that with every hour that goes by, that's an hour closer to them screwing things up. Then Taz asks about Gwyneth. Huma follows up. Destina explains that she came as an advanced scout and mentions Emilatus. This triggers a reaction from Raistlin, who remembers the dragon from the past slash future. Magius catches on. Taz butts in about the song. Raistlin tries to deflect. Magius is suspicious. Raistlin uses his dagger to slit one of Taz's pouches and it falls to the ground. Taz works to pick up all the contents. An effective diversion indeed. Destina, still talking about Gwyneth, says she owes her life to the woman. Huma backs off as deference to her and Gwyneth's step. Magius picks his battle by asking Destina her story. Raistlin concocts a story about her castle under attack and that they are friends. She adds that Taz is her bodyguard. Taz seems very proud of this fact. They need to find shelter somewhere close. The whole party is worn out. They need to get to the tower. How, Sturm asks. The enemy crawls the space between. Huma brings up Magius' plan, giving him the opportunity to explain. He's going to cast a journeying spell to get them to the tower. He asks if Raistlin knows. Raistlin responds bitterly that he knows of it. He and Huma go back and forth with friendly banter about the spell, being friends and not trusting magic. This gives Sturm a chance to agree. He refuses to use the spell to travel. Huma tries to convince Sturm. Initially, he stubbornly refuses, but Huma and Raistlin finally convince him. Then, suddenly, Taz says he will stay back. This astonishes everyone until he explains that he doesn't want to go back to the tower where he watched Sturm die. He doesn't make it that far, but he spills about the dragon orbs and the traps during his time. Destina insists because he is her bodyguard, he must go. Raistlin backs her up. They need Taz. Magius asks Raistlin to accompany him to find a place for the spell. Raistlin, unsure how he can help, comes anyway. Sturm insists that they need to keep Taz quiet. Other than murder, Raistlin has no idea how. They walk to a hill to be in view of the tower. Magius spies on Raistlin and Taz. Raistlin tells Taz he needs to talk. Taz impulsively launches into a defense mode. Raistlin then says no, stop talking about shit. Taz launches into a diatribe that pretty much sums my thoughts. You mean the future, Taz said. The past was the past when we were in the present, but now that we're in the past is the present, and that means what's going to happen is going to happen in the future. So I shouldn't talk about the future, even though it's the past. Raistlin warns that if Taz doesn't stop talking, he could put Caramon at risk in the future. During this part of the conversation, Raistlin starts to cough. The fit attacks him so badly that he fears slash hopes death will claim him. Taz, nervous, goes to stand with Destina. Magius asks if there's any cure. Raistlin says he can brew a tea, but assures him that it isn't a disease, rather a curse of the test. Magius understands and then follows up with a question of why they pursue magic. Raistlin responds with the easy answer, power. True, Magius says, many think that, but initially, they rack their bodies and minds for a spell with little to no effect. Then, why? Simply for the sake of magic, to feel that magic dance in the blood and sing in the soul. Yes, that is why. Magius admits that he's never told anybody that. Not even Huma, who is like a brother, would understand. Yes, Raistlin says, my brother didn't understand. Magius tells him another secret. It's not his real name. His family disowned him, so he took the name of his power. He again asks Raistlin to help, and that he will show him the spell. Huma gives some background about the tower, and they walk to the clearing for the spell. Raistlin sees the red moon in the sky. Magius salutes her, and then disarms Raistlin with questions of Kender, dragon orbs, and the gem. Chapter 8. Magius and Raistlin pick up leaves and sticks from the ground in preparation. The moon shines bright this day. Raistlin both wonders if she knows he's there, and also if the gods know about the gem. He doubts that even they could do anything about it, if they do know. Magius lights the staff and asks Raistlin to hold it. He hesitates for fear of opening old wounds. Magius refers to this, and Raistlin takes the staff. He lovingly runs his hand over the staff and compliments Magius on the craftsmanship. Magius said he picked the branch and crafted it himself, gradually growing the power of the staff. Raistlin knew it could do more than he ever discovered, and wanted to ask. He couldn't, for fear of appearing too covetous. Once prep is complete, he reluctantly hands the staff back, and waits while Magius brings the others to the clearing. He explains that they must all be completely within the circle for the spell to work. He entered the circle and held the light up for others. Taz first, then Destina, Sturm, and finally Raistlin. Magius scolds Taz for stealing a component, and then puts all of the responsibility on him. He must keep his hands in his pockets, or the spell will not work. Taz complies. Sturm asks where they will land. Magius half-jokes the wine cellar. Then he ensures him that they will end up in a conspicuous place so they can explain themselves to guards. Satisfied, Sturm falls quiet. Magius asks for the rest of them to be quiet too, to allow him to cast the spell. He calls up for Lunatari's blessing, and then Raistlin's assistance. He begins to cast the spell. Raistlin tries to commit it to memory to record it in his spellbook later. The red moon shines on Magius and illuminates the circle. It then shines to an obnoxious level. Raistlin keeps his eyes open, in spite of the pain, to memorize the spell. When the spell finishes, he feels the magic take him from the circle, whisk him away, and place him gently on the ground. Magius lights the staff. They're in an empty hall with no windows and unlit torches. Statues line the wall. No guards, though. Welcome to the tower, Magius says, and then falls to the ground. Sturm grabs his sword, ready to fight. Raistlin assures him that it is only the magic exhausting his mind and body. He's fine. He just needs rest. Huma notices Taz disappeared. The Kender appears again, saying that he explored and tries to explain, but Raistlin cuts him off. Taz complains how hard it is to watch his own tongue. His voice echoes in the emptiness. Destina remarks how empty and quiet it is. Huma agrees. Magius stands up with some assistance. He shines the light on the floor. Muddy boot prints, a gauntlet, and a broken buckle. The aftermath of a battle and retreat. Dire news indeed. Destina hears someone coming and hushes them. They ready for battle. Three knights come into the hall. Two are young, knights of the sword. The third is in his 50s and a knight of the crown. They all had swords brandished, anticipating trouble themselves. The oldest especially looks confused by this group. How did you get in? He orders them all jailed. Huma steps in, recognizing the guy. He proved it by giving the man's name. Then he introduces everyone in the group. Titus returns the favor by introducing his partners. He asks what war wizards do. Magius jokes, sneak people into locked towers. Huma explains the obvious. They're wizards who fight in wars. Magius then explains the spell with Raistlin's help. They further explain that Destina needs rest, and Taz interjects that he's hungry. Huma requests an audience with the High Clerist. He isn't here. They work out arrangements for sleep. Destina and Magius to their rooms, the rest to join Titus for dinner. Before she leaves, Destina thanks Sturm. He begrudgingly acknowledges her thanks. Taz and Sturm talk about the Dragon Orb, being dead, and coming back. Sturm didn't mind being dead, but came back at the whim of the gods, so... No, chaos, Raistlin corrects him. When he sees that they wear the same armor as Tali, he presses them to corroborate what was Tali's story, but that he probably deserted. They come into their destination, the kitchen, the Knight's Supper. Titus gives some history. The Knight's Council Hall became a barracks. Here are the defenders of the tower, 45 men, 3 knights, and 2 of them are newbies, against the full might of Takis's army. Where's the High Clerist? Dead, and many others. Huma asks what happens. They will explain after dinner, because you will lose your appetite. And now for my reaction. I'm struggling a bit with how to write my reactions to this book. Eventually, I found my voice in Ready Player One with the quote-unquote big topics for each episode. But this one doesn't have any deep message behind it. Just tells the story of a party of unlikely adventurers who travel back in time, aided by a gem containing literal chaos. So far, I've been able to get away with theorizing why I like this book better than the first one. But there is a limit to simply stating, quote, I like this book more, end quote, and I think I reached it. Heck, I'm pretty sure that I explained the reasons why I might like this one more in the last episode. So where do I go from here? I mean, I'm pretty desperate. I haven't went so far as to Google, quote, book club discussion questions, end quote. Initially, I felt underwhelmed. Then I looked closer at the list and figured some of them can be adapted into chapter discussions. Some of them I will use every time. Others I will pepper in as I see fit based on the chapter content. And now, on to the discussion. New characters. Again, this one will come in whenever there are new characters or a new sort of reveal about characters. Tully feels like he's a major plot point. Otherwise, why would they focus on this guy who deserted, may have deserted? I think it's going to come back later on and mean more than they're letting on currently. And Titus, on the other hand, feels like just a character to explain, move the plot forward. I don't think that he's going to have a huge undertaking in the story, but who knows? I could be wrong about both of them. What did I like least about the chapters? Always start with the bad news and finish on a high note. There's not much I don't like about this book. Even my major annoyance from the first book, Destina's character, became much less annoying. It started towards the end of the first book. Some of my other complaints, like pacing and the weakness of new characters, they fixed in a big way. The pacing so far feels good, parenthetically, if a bit slow these chapters, more on that in a minute, and parenthetical. And Huma and Magius live up to the billing as great and mythical heroes. Honestly, of all the requels lately, I like this one the best right now. Okay, through my thought process there, I arrived at a least. While I like the glimpse into Magius' background, parenthetically, yes, more on that in a minute, and parenthetical, did we really need almost 2 chapters of preparation for the teleportation spell? I suppose they wanted to convey what a powerful spell it is, but it felt like overkill. Yes, a minor complaint, but an honest and valid one. Ultimately, though, the payoff also left me lacking. All this preparation and warnings, and all we get is a quick sentence about Raistlin's whooshing and arriving? Maybe they want us to realize how powerful, parenthetically, or blessed Magius is. Perhaps a subtle dig at the knights for their archaic mistrust of magic, both seem likely. So, two lukewarm criticisms covered by rationalization. A. Like most internet personalities, I'm a failed entertainer myself. Those who can't do become critics. Wait for the eventual hard right-wing turn in a few years. What did I like best? As just reference, part of the preparation for the spell came with a conversation between Raistlin and Magius. They discussed the motivation behind their study of magic. Raistlin gives the typical answer, as I said, power. Magius considers that, and then counters that they put their lives on the line for spells that initially feel like minor parlor tricks. Sure, eventually, if you study and live long enough, you can cast Fireball. Until then, though, that power amuses children only. Why, then? Magius gives the answer that most, I imagine, would give when asked why they do what they do. Personally, I often make the sarcastic comment that I don't understand why people teach willingly. Yet, in spite of it all, I continue to teach. I half joke it is because teaching is as close to being retired while still having a job, especially if you only work your contracted hours. But the main reason, if pressed, is that I teach because it dances in my blood and sings in my soul, or whatever Magius said. I love that feeling when the lesson just hits right and the class just hums with energy. Also, I truly believe that education, above all, changes lives for the better. But maybe I digress there. The main part of the conversation I liked involved the glimpse into Magius's life. While short, it provided just enough that I want more. I think they might, but I hope they explore his background. Disowned, but adopted by the wizards, parenthetically, in one way or another, he now acts as unofficial mentor to Raistlin. Free of the influence of Fist and Dantalus, and with his literal hero to guide him, maybe Raistlin gets his redemption arc. Wait, hold up. Let's explore that. If I remember correctly, parenthetically, and I may not because I only read the Twins trilogy once, Raistlin gets a Darth Vader-style awakening at the end. All of the pain and terror he caused gets swept under the rug in favor of joyous memories with his brother. Now, still bearing the weight of his sins, but again minus that corrupting influence, he can truly atone for those sins. Wait, is that the whole reason for this series? Not that I'm complaining, but sneaky. And sure, appreciated. I talked previously about questionable role models. Removing Raistlin from that list gives me the warm and fuzzies. Then again, I could be completely wrong. All I ask is that they do no harm, at the very least. He doesn't have to be a hero. Just don't make his descent into villainy inevitable. Let me keep my hope alive. Well, that was a fun trip, right? The point remains, I want to learn more about Magius, and I hope that he helps Raistlin figure it out. Okay, I think I covered everything. Once again, the internet came to my rescue. Thanks, internet. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. I have articles. Chris and I are recording the most recent episode of Two Guys Gaming, a reboot of a reboot, on Wednesday, so look for that in the coming weeks. There's also a link to our socials, including our YouTube, where currently there's still just the daily RPG calendar, but I plan on recording a Minecraft video once I am able to sit down and do so, and then I'm going to record a video of me driving trucks for the truck simulation that I'm going to cover next month. I will be back with episode 4 of this series on Thursday. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are...